Welcome to the award-winning Texas Outdoor News. 60 minutes of news, interviews, hints, and insight into the great outdoors. Now your hosts, Harold Gunn and Bill Olson.
And a good morning to you. This is Harold Gunn, and Texas Outdoor News is brought to you by Ford Trucks and your best in Texas Ford dealers. And today, we'll be bringing you outdoor news from throughout the state as well as the nation, along with the best bets for fishing, hunting, and a whole lot more.
Good morning, Texas. This is Bill Olson. Hope everybody's having a great first full weekend of October. And as a verse in a song, we got sunshine on a cloudy day.
Well, you know? Yeah. It's been great this week in East Texas.
Yeah, well, even down into parts of South Texas, It's raining. It's been raining, folks, and there's more on the way, and that's really exciting. And that's going to lead us into our annual Waltz Across Texas. Uh-huh. We will visit with all eight Texas Parks and Wildlife District leaders over the next 4 weeks. This week, we're leading off with David Veal from Pleasanton, talking about the brush country, and then we're going to shift over to Jasper, where Rusty Wood hangs out, talk about the piney woods. So we got a big show headed your way. Got a little news for you, but we're mostly talking hunting and updates from the hunt forecast that's in the October issue of Texas Outdoors Journal. So you all do stick around, and remember, you're listening to your reliable information source for the great outdoors, Texas Outdoor News.
Someone is stealing Texas wildlife, and the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department needs your help to stop it. Every time a poacher strikes, it is theft, pure and simple. Poaching also impairs your ability to enjoy your wildlife resources. Whether you hunt, fish, or just enjoy the wonders of Texas wildlife, now to many, there is nothing lower than a poacher, and we have a way to deal with it. It's called Operation Game Thief. Operation Game Thief was established in 1981 as a means for you to help Texas game wardens stop illegal hunting and fishing. A toll-free number is your link to Operation Game Thief. 1-800-792-GAME. That's 1-800-792-GAME. If a report results in apprehension and conviction, Operation Game Thief will pay rewards up to $1,000. Something else for you to know, Operation Game Thief is funded entirely by private donations. That means we need your tax-deductible financial support. To find out how to become a sponsoring member of Operation Game Thief or to report a hunting or fishing violation, call 1-800-792-GAME.
I was in the hospital with my son for 18 months.
When he got injured, I knew I had to be strong.
I just remember rushing into his room and giving him a big hug and letting him know I was there.
These veterans and families are just a few of the heroes we serve at Homes for Our Troops. We build specially adapted custom homes with features like wheelchair access and automatic door openers that allow them to focus on their recovery and family.
This house is freedom.
It's hope. It's a new beginning.
Visit hfotusa.org.
If your child has a common orthopedic condition, that doesn't mean you can only get common treatments. You can choose Shriners Children's. Our world-class care is not limited to insurance networks or to what's been done before. The same doctors who innovate treatments for the most complicated orthopedic issues will help your child grow and develop properly. See what we do at ShrinersChildren's.org. Shriners Children's, the most amazing care anywhere.
You're listening to Texas Outdoor News. Bill Olson along with Harold Gunn. We do appreciate you making us a part of your weekend plans. And we are all reveling in the fact that it rained.
Yes.
And it's rained significantly in some parts. Harold and I were talking in the break, and I watched that squall line, the front, as it moved through. And what was that, Wednesday night, you know, into Thursday.
Right.
And from Abilene on into Oklahoma, that thing was massive and had a lot of depth to it. Talked to my cousin, got a text from him, and he's got a family place there out of Fayetteville, not far from LaGrange. And as of his text Thursday morning, he had gotten 2 inches of rain. Yeah. And then it seemed to continue to build to the south, but not all the way to the valley, to the Rio Grande River. But it's start. It's a start.
Yes, you know? It is.
Do you have? Did you check, or do you know what's going on around Mason?
A couple of drips, and then the
big deluge.
Thing keeps changing. So,
but
3 weeks ago we had some good rain up there. But
well, it's going to be interesting as we talk the next 4 weeks with our district leaders as to the potential impact, because this rain's actually coming a little bit late. Normally, we get some of these rains in September,
right?
That is beneficial to fall forbs for wildlife. But with it coming now in October, then we've kind of got a dry spell before another front hits. We'll see what happens. Feed fortified cottonseed.
Absolutely.
Yes. What you got in the way of news for us?
Well, you know, they're always after us. Several parts of the Maryland gun control law set to take effect this last Sunday were shelved after a U.S. District Court judge blocked the law's prohibition on carrying guns at bars, public gatherings, and in private buildings. U.S. District Court Judge George Russell III repeatedly invoked the 2022 U.S. Supreme Court decision, Newark State Rifle and Pistol Association versus Bruin, in granting a preliminary injunction that bars those pieces of the law from taking effect while the lawsuit against it moves through the courts.
No.
Here's my favorite, though.
What's that?
A New York judge ordered the state of New York to pay nearly $500,000 in legal fees to the National Rifle Association.
Really?
After the gun rights group won a major case at the Supreme Court. In a case decided this summer, Supreme Court ruled that the New York public carry licensing law was unconstitutional and that the ability to carry a pistol in public was a constitutional right guaranteed by the Second Amendment. The NRA was a party in that case, New York State Rifle and Pistol Association versus Bruin. Last week, a New York judge ordered the state to pay $447,782 in legal fees. The NRA regards that award as a pivotal victory, a symbol that justice is definitely on our side, said Michael Jean, the NRA's director of the Office of Litigation Counsel. And yay, team.
Absolutely. Yeah. Let me provide a little insight for all the listeners about the operation of Texas Parks and Wildlife and some changes that have taken place, not only in personnel, but the physical year for Parks and Wildlife begins September 1.
Okay.
Hence the reason why license and regulations all, you know, begin. You know, they're implemented then. And over the 31 years that we've been on the air and we've done our walks across Texas,
right,
we have talked with 8 district leaders. That's what we're going to do this year.
Mm-hmm.
But in 2024 and already implemented and already being interviewed, that 8 becomes 11.
Oh, really?
11 districts. They're changing, dividing, you know, expanding. And so we'll see what happens next year. But, you know, got with the district leaders when I started calling for the October issue of Texas Outdoors Journal.
Uh-huh.
And I said, guys, you know, we're gonna treat this as though we're still just 8. You know,
yeah,
we'll deal with, you know, the 11 once all the positions are filled.
Uh-huh.
So,
right.
And you know, and you've got retirement. You've got people that have moved to different positions.
Right.
In fact, I'm pretty excited. I've got a meeting with David Yakowitz, the new executive director.
Uh-huh.
And when this was set up by John Slavosky, the head of the wildlife division,
mm-hmm,
and I met John when he was district leader in Tyler, I said, I've been trying to get in, wanted to get in to visit with him. And he said, okay, I'll do it. Well, then I got an email back from Dee Halliburton, the administrative assistant.
Mm-hmm.
And not only is David going to be there and John Slavosky,
okay,
but so is Robin Rikers,
right,
head of Coastal Fisheries.
Yeah.
Craig Bond, who used to be head of Inland Fisheries but is now the COO.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's a lady whose name escapes me right now, I'm sorry, who's head of the media.
Okay.
And then somebody else. There's like 6 of them going to be there. I go, why are you ganging up on me? But that's going to be a great meeting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Really looking forward to sitting down and you know, just expanding on how we can work. And like, mm-hmm, I tell them, we're not adversaries. We're
correct
advocates.
And we're on your side.
And if there's a problem, we're not just coming, you know, griping.
Mm-hmm.
We're coming saying, take a look at this
yeah.
and consider this as a solution, you know, or how can we help to, you know, help you with a solution.
Right, because so, we are all in it together.
Oh, without question, without yeah. question. All right, we need to take a break, go to our Best Bets Outdoor Report.
Uh-huh.
We're going to find out if you're on or off-road.
Yes, we are.
Right after this.
America's best-selling truck for 46 years running is Ford. These people work hard every day to build the best trucks, trucks you need. Trucks with the best-in-class payload and towing. Ha-ha, but you're not going to see them celebrate these 46 years with a lot of fireworks and party hats, because it's not about them, it is about you. It's about building the trucks you depend on to get the job done. That's how they built them yesterday. That's how they build them today. And most importantly, that is how they will build them tomorrow. America's best-selling truck for 46 years, Ford's F-Series, built Ford Tough, the best in Texas.
Friends, now you can listen to Texas Outdoor News worldwide on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Pandora. The country's favorite outdoor show, directly from your iPhone, Android, Kindle, PC, Mac, and more, on demand and on the go. Download the Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Pandora apps, or go to Google and search Texas Outdoor News, or just go to TexasOutdoorNews.com and click on the tabs. Then listen anytime, anywhere.
And welcome back to Texas Outdoor News. Harold Gunn along with Bill Olson. And this portion of our show is brought to you by The Blind. For decades, the original blind has been known for its long-lasting durability that will not fail in the field while providing comfortable concealment at an affordable price. The blind has been a bestseller for over 43 years, with more than 75,000 sold since 1980. Plus, the blind's iconic design and construction are so good that original models bought over 35 years ago are still being used today. I've got five at my place that I've had for pushing 25 years, and they still do the job. The Blind now introduces its next generation, the VersaBlind. Just as its name implies, the VersaBlind satisfies the needs for any hunting discipline, rifle, bow, pistol, black powder, and more. Its newly designed spacious configuration provides more room while on the same footprint. Its windows allow greater visibility, versatility, and increased shot options to harvest game. Plus, hunters now have the room to truly set up for a steady shot. See the original blind, VersaBlind, towers, tie-downs, other accessories at blind.com. That's BLYND.com. Remember, since 1980, it's the blind, and dealer inquiries are welcome.
And stop by one of their dealers like Barron's Farm and Feed in Fredericksburg. Ebar Feeds, either in Gonzales or Hallettsville. And then there's West Texas Game Feeders out there in San Angelo.
Okay. Right, let's check the best bets, okay? The Texas Outdoors Journal, Fishing and Hunting Times this weekend. Saturday is the best day, while this Sunday is rated as good. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday slip to fair. Thursday, Friday, next Saturday, rebound to good. Next Sunday is the best day of the week. This Saturday and Sunday, look for game to begin foraging from either side of sunrise until either side of the noon hour. On Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we will have a major feeding period of the day occurring from early morning until early afternoon. By Thursday, Friday, and next Saturday, times will have adjusted, and game will feed from mid-morning until mid-afternoon. Next Sunday, this most active period occurs from late morning until late afternoon. On Saturday, October 14th, we will have a new moon on the coast this weekend, as well as Monday. There will be a single tide schedule of one high and one low tide each day. Tuesday through next Sunday is a string of days with a double tide schedule of two high, two lows each day.
All right. Staying on the coast, this rain that we've had and are going to continue to receive could potentially have an impact on upper coast fishing, as well as maybe over on Lake Calcasieu, because of the heavy rains that occurred in the watershed of the Calcasieu River, Sabine River, Neches River, etc. There's the potential for some freshwater runoff. And I say potential because it's been so dry, so much of it may go in the ground, but so much of it fell so quickly, it there could be some runoff.
Mm-hmm.
And if that happens, say in the Trinity River, or Trinity River and Trinity Bay up around Jack's Pocket, that could become a bit fresh. I don't think it's going to be that deep of a freshwater, but it'll be on the surface, and your trout are going to be underneath. The other thing that's happening is all the bird activity, and there's bird activity, you know, over in Calcasieu that's going nuts. They've got some great fishing going on. Same thing, Sabine Lake. That is just really popping. The entire Galveston Bay complex down into Matagorda, mid-coast area. You don't have the influence once you hit the Guadalupe River and around Victoria. You don't have that freshwater influence or the river influence like we do on the upper coast. So that's going to help. They didn't get as much rain, but it is going to adjust the salinity level. Look for trout as well as redfish to just be gorging themselves on any available bait. Lower coast, hypersaline. And the reason that's called that is because they have very little freshwater influence. And, but some great fall fishing is at hand. Take advantage of it. I know hunting seasons are underway, but this is something really special. And then coming up, many of the outfitters and guides that fish will be doing blasting casts.
Yeah.
Hunting ducks in right. the morning, then going out in the afternoon to fish. Absolutely phenomenal. Don't forget on the mid-coast and lower coast, 85% of all the redheads, ducks, are there, and they decoy readily.
Ah, okay,
cool. Yeah. And then, of course, offshore, still reports of kingfish. Water temperature in the Gulf still warm. Kingfish are still biting. And, of course, we've got our state water fishing. How about our lakes?
How about them?
They ought to be getting some water.
Yes, they should be. They should. But again, like I say, you talk about how stuff soaks up, because last month up at my place outside Mason, frog choking rain, look like a lake out in front of the house, and go in and have a cup of coffee and go back and it's gone.
Right.
So that's what's going on. Anyway, Lake Conroe, the crappie bite has picked up over the past days due to the cooler temperatures, but you will still need to fish. Several spots and thumps have been lighter. Smaller jigs and minnows have been hit or miss in 12 to 22 feet of water on or close to structure. Fork, early morning bite is good on top waters and buzz baits, frogs around vegetation. Squarebill crankbaits, rattle traps are good on the outside edge of vegetation. Carolina rigs are good in 4 to 6 feet of water on points and humps. Sam Rayburn, bass have moved shallow, chasing the bait fish. Bass continue to be good in the lily pads with frogs along the edges of the pads with cinchos and wacky worms. 15 to 20 feet of water on Carolina rigs. Crappie are stacking up on brush in 16 to 22 feet of water, biting on minnows or jigs. Tyler, catfish are good all over the lake on night crawlers and stinky bait. Bass are good on crankbaits, black finesse worms, and spinner baits in 8 feet of water. Crappie are good in 12 to 16 feet of water on brush piles using minnows. Limestone, largemouth bass are good in 2 to 12 feet of water using Carolina rigs, Texas rigs, spinnerbait, chatterbait. Crappie are on offshore brush of standing timber suspended in 6 to 13 feet. Go with minnows for those guys. Palestine, crappie fishing is good on minnows and jigs in 10 to 20 feet of water on brush, 18 to 25 feet of water on standing timber, and 18 to 25 feet of water on bridge pillars. Crappie will be suspended between 10 to 18 feet. Tewakini, hybrid stripers and white bass are herded up in big schools on many different lake points in 8 to 15 feet. Best lures have been slabs and small swim baits. Whitney, striped bass, excellent from Bear Creek to the dam in 25 to 45 feet of water on live bait, flutter spoons, umbrella rigs, or swim baits.
All right, heading to South Texas down Corpus Christi way, where fishing has been really good this week leading up to the front. Going to have a bit of adjustment until things settle down this coming week, but then should resume. Catfish are good in 10 to 15 feet of water with dip baits or cut carp. Down in Falcon, all you Rio Grande Valley folks, bigger catfish and keeper catfish are becoming more active as the weather cools. Target catfish in 8 to 20 feet of water on cut or live bait. Bass are good in 8 to 15 feet of water on rocky bottoms, dragging watermelon red or watermelon seed cinchos, our power worms or crankbaits. Allen Henry, known as a bass lake, but crappie fishing is really good starting now and on through the winter months in 18 to 26 feet of water. Coleman, crappie's also excellent at mid lake and the mouth of the river. Meredith, you want some of those northern fish?
Yeah.
Walleye are good with lots of small fish being caught using minnows, grubs, crankbaits, and other artificial baits.
Okay, head to the Hill Country. Big Lake Buchanan, striper fishing is good with the best catches, trolling, but vertical jigging is also producing. Canyon, the bass are starting to move out of the matted grass and are extremely catchable along the outside grass line. Slow rolling, a spinner bait, and a swim bait have been the baits of choice. Travis, bass are great, and the topwater bite has been good using walking style baits along the shores as the bass are chasing bait up tight.
The hunting section of our show is brought to you by Dallas Safari Club. Dallas Safari Club's mission is to ensure the conservation of wildlife through public engagement, education, and advocacy for well-regulated hunting and sustainable use. The vision of Dallas Safari Club is a society that values wildlife, engages in its conservation, and understands and supports the role of a well-regulated hunting in the sustainable use of wild resources. Dallas Safari Club is a member of the International Union for Conservation of Nature and is a mission-focused conservation organization funded by hunters from around the world. In recent years, millions of dollars have been channeled to qualify projects and programs in support of that mission. Whether at Dallas Safari Club's huge annual four-day convention held each January or events held by one of its local chapters, these are places hunters gather and create a sense of family. Help Dallas Safari Club continue to make a difference by becoming a member, getting involved, and becoming a part of their growth. For more information, visit biggame.org. That's biggame.org. And everybody knows dove season's underway. Now we'll ask the question, Harold.
Yes?
Has the rain scattered the doves? Because, I mean, the shooting has been so good. Had been so good. But through the 29th of October, both the central and south zone, first split of dove season continues. Through November 12th, the north zone will continue. Archery hunters are underway for mule deer as well as whitetail and Rio Grande turkey. And through next Sunday, the pronghorn antelope season. I would love to be able to hunt pronghorns out in the Trans-Pecos region. I mean, I've hunted in New Mexico and Wyoming and other places, but man, we grow some good antelope out there. Of course, we got a lot more seasons that are about to open up. So y'all stay tuned.
Yeah, it's a great state.
Yeah, it is. It is. So what have you been driving this week?
Well, mainly on, but a little rough road. It'll work. It's the 2024 Chevy Trax 2RS. It's their compact SUV. And I want to call this one entry level because this is really quite a value. It's cute. Really nice looking. It's got a 1.2-liter turbo four-banger pumping out only 137 horsepower. It's not like a big towing thing. But it's still well appointed. It's really nice looking, and a good quiet ride. They have their what they call their active noise cancellation that makes it that much more comfortable. All the good steering wheel controls for your audio and your phone. Flat bottom steering wheel, so you can find the bottom. Sometimes you go like, where is it? Windows and lift gate are automatic. Seats, folding rear split. Pretty amount of room in there. A cargo privacy cover, which comes in really handy. I had somebody break into a car a few weeks ago in a parking lot, and what I had in it was a soft-sided cooler with some leftover hummus and pita bread, and they shattered the window and got it. I'm going like, what? So you just never know. So I love the fact that you've got these privacy covers on these things. A lot of safety and security, forward collision alert, automatic emergency braking, front pedestrian braking, theft deterrent system. Rear vision camera, and extra goodies, sunroof, driver confidence package, rear cross lane traffic, really loaded nicely. 28 miles per gallon in the city, 32 on the highway for an average of 30. And, I mean, solid, quiet, good looking, and loaded $25,000. And these days, these days you get something in the 20s, grab it. Yeah, grab it while you can. So that's the 2024 Chevy Trax 2RS. It's their compact SUV.
All right, folks, we're fixing to head to South Texas.
Yeehaw.
And then the East Texas, the Piney Woods. So y'all stick around and make the journey with us.
Yo, This is Morgan Freeman, executive producer of the documentary film The C Word, and I'm here to tell you that defeating cancer takes breakthroughs. A breakthrough is the start of something extraordinary. To be breakthrough is to be brave. Many small breakthroughs can lead inevitably to a big breakthrough. The kinds of breakthroughs that advance the fight against cancer. The ones that save lives by the millions. You are the breakthrough. You, the patients taking part in clinical trials. You, the scientists doing next-level research to beat cancer. You, the doctors and nurses who tirelessly care for everyone along the way. Let's be the breakthrough.
To learn about screenings and clinical trials that may be right for you, go to standuptocancer.org/breakthrough. Stand Up to Cancer is a program of the Entertainment Industry Foundation. Please talk to your healthcare provider about appropriate screenings and clinical trials that may be right for you.
Hunting seasons are upon us, and finding up-to-date information and tips are important to hunters. Texas Outdoors Journal is just that source of quality information. From proven cylinder tables to experts that have etched their names in the record books, Texas Outdoors Journal is on target for hunters. The same is true about Texas Outdoors Journal fishing coverage. Whether you fish on the coast or one of our inland lakes, timely forecast information and tips from the pros sets Texas Outdoors Journal apart from the rest. These are a couple of reasons why, since 1992, Texas Outdoors Journal has perennially been named the top outdoor magazine in Texas. No other publication can make a similar claim of sustained excellence. Plus, we know there's 12 months in a year, not something less, so you get a copy every month. Prove it to yourself by picking up a copy of Texas Outdoors Journal at your local newsstand, or better yet, subscribe and save off the cover price. To subscribe securely online using a major credit card, visit TexasOutdoorsJournal.com or call 713-957-3997.
You're listening to Texas Outdoor News. Bill Olson along with Harold Gunn. And this portion of the program is brought to you by Fortified Cottonseed, a partnership forged between Texas families that have been in the agricultural and ranching industry for several decades. Fortified Cottonseed is formulated with vitamins and minerals. Fortified Cottonseed's Red Blend is a naturally high source of protein for deer, elk, exotics, cattle, and is safe for sheep and goats. It optimizes antler growth while its fat content meets energy demands for maintaining body condition and milk production with the advantage of limited intake. Fortified Cottonseed with the vitamins and minerals Yellow Blend is specially formulated for white-tailed deer, but should not be fed to sheep or goats. The white-tailed blend is off the chart in fat, fiber, and protein. It is the most efficient and cost-effective way to feed white-tailed deer and wildlife. We've told you for years now that you should have Fortified Cottonseed out for the benefit of the deer herd year-round. And certainly coming out of the drought of 23, we are dealing with maybe a shortage of forbs, fall forbs, even with the rain that we've got. It may be a little bit too late. Have Fortified Cottonseed available. Once we get past the rut, the recovery for bucks, as well as the mama deer that will be carrying fawns, help them. And again, the advantage of limited intake mm-hmm. means all the reports that we've heard from everybody that has gone all in with Fortified Cottonseed, better than 2.5 to 1 savings
yes.
over a natural protein regimen. It's amazing. And the nice thing is with that vitamin package, mm-hmm. that's supplementing, regardless of where you are, what Mother Nature does not provide naturally.
Right. And they only eat what they need.
That's right. And you like it.
I think it's because the raccoons and the pigs don't mess with it, you know, which is critical because they mess with everything else.
Yeah. Go to their website, fortifiedcottonseed.com. Watch their video. Get a better understanding of those behind it and the benefits that are derived from feeding Fortified Cottonseed. Go to your local Tractor Supply and pick up a few bags that you need. Go to the website and find your independent feed store that's carrying Fortified Cottonseed. You got a big order? Give them a call at 806-839-2122. That's 806-839-2122. In years past, our first guest has normally been our cleanup heater. I mean, he has anchored things, okay? But this year, we're moving him to the leadoff position.
Oh, okay.
We're shuffling the lineup a little bit. But from Pleasanton, Texas, Texas Parks and Wildlife District Leader David Veal. David, welcome back to Texas Outdoor News. How you doing, my friend?
Hey, good to see you, Bill, and good to talk to you too, Harold.
Thank you, sir.
Question. We're talking about the rain. You just heard the spot for fortified cottonseed.
Very appropriate.
What is your assessment? I mean, we hope and pray that we're going to get more rain, but this late in the season, particularly for your district, South Texas, y'all didn't get really the rains, widespread rains that East Texas and other areas did. Are we late on Forbes? Is there going to be a shortage of available Forbes? What's your assessment on that?
I think it just really depends on how quickly we get some actual cool weather, which I'm hoping for soon. But no, I think we're still going to have a little bit of time for some of those Forbes, those fall Forbes to grow up. We got some great rains this last week, pushing through really all of South Texas. I do think that because there's a lot of bare ground out there from the lack of forage throughout the summer, some of those fall Forbes may jump up pretty quick. I'm hopeful.
Okay. All right. Well, let's start where we normally do each time this year. Coming out of last hunting season, what was the harvest like and what kind of carryover did you see in South Texas?
You know, I'd say we were average across the board. As far as habitat conditions, we had a good winter. Carried over some, you know, soil moisture and some forage, and boy, did we need that this summer. So we had a little bit of rain across a good portion of South Texas into late spring, which I think if we hadn't had that, we would have had a lot worse conditions across all wildlife species.
We're all familiar with the drought that we went through, but we had a little tropical weather move in. I guess it made landfall, what, somewhere around Port Mansfield south of Corpus?
I really said that the band of rain was roughly from Kingsville to Laredo.
Okay.
You know, and it might have been, you know, 60 miles wide of folks really getting some good rainfall. So it was far from everybody, but there were some folks down in that country, down across, you know, McMullen County. I mean, there were places with 5 inches of rain in August, which they needed it.
All right, with the spring rains and conditions we had, what kind of start did bucks get on growing antlers this year?
I think they got off to a great start, and so I think body conditions going into the growing period for antlers was really, really strong. It's just that the rest of that summer was not.
Okay. How about the benefit or lack of for ground nesting birds like quail and turkey?
Again, I think they got rain exactly when they needed it, and I think that's going to carry us over into having an average year. Because that drought was so historically hot and dry.
Well, of course, you know, dove season's going on. How is that going?
Man, it's been going good. I think everybody's getting in on the action pretty well. It seems to be widespread success across the South Texas area. Obviously, the Valley always does really, really good on their white wings down there. But just from folks I'm talking to, you know, nobody's really striking out. And so I think those rains that came late probably provided some water where there hadn't been water and allow those doves to spread out where everybody can get in on a little bit of that action.
All right. We had a drought. We know that you all normally manage in South Texas for the worst conditions. What kind of impact do you all have on game ranches and animals that escape? And we know when the water falls, water gaps open. Do you all have many free-ranging animals out there in your country?
As far as exotics?
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's Texas, and you've learned to never say never in this business on what somebody might see or not see on their property. I would say we're not like the hill country where we have widespread,
right,
you know, wide variety of exotic species. But certainly I think any of the common exotic cervids such as axis, sika, fallow, I mean, those could show up just about anywhere. Black buck, I mean, hard, far from uncommon.
All right. How about taking the extra mouths off the rangeland? I mean, that's even more important this year, isn't it?
Well, and I think that ties in well with that fortified cottonseed ad that you guys ran right here at the beginning, too. So, you know, we know it's going to get hot and dry again in Texas, right? And so
sure,
we always tell people to manage for those dry years because you're going to have a lot more dry years than you are wet years. And so as wildlife managers, we're obviously very conservative looking at the quality of the habitat. And so when you have fewer mouths on that range, fewer deer in that habitat, they're having less impact on that forage.
So,
and so you're hoping to take the peaks and valleys off of everything, just like you're going to do with supplemental feed. You know, you're going to be able to weather those changes.
So, David, how the javelina doing?
Oh, man, we are not doing a great job of monitoring those dudes. No, I think they're chugging along, man. We do have some research projects going on right now on several sites here in South Texas, trying to get a little bit better handle on what is going on with that population. But they're kind of a love-hate species for a lot of folks. They either love them or hate them.
Very good. All right. Our first guest, David Veal from Pleasanton, Texas, South Texas, Texas Parks and Wildlife, South Texas is where we are.
Yeah, that's where we are.
District leader. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with Rusty Wood from Jasper, heading to the Piney Woods right after this.
Thank you.
You're listening to the state's most honored outdoor radio show, Texas Outdoor News.
Hey, y'all, Jeff Foxworthy here. Now, if you've ever found yourself repeating the same thing over and over for 75 years, you might be Smokey Bear.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
That's why I'm filling in for Smokey to switch things up, because there's a lot more to say. And I should know, because my grandfather was a firefighter. And one of the things he taught me is that the people that love the outdoors the most are often the ones accidentally starting wildfires, which means always BYOB. No, bring your own bucket to the campfire. And be extra careful with things like burning yard trimmings. Don't just walk away, or chances are you might be starting a wildfire. So for the love of the outdoors, go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
We continue our annual waltz across Texas from South Texas. We're heading to the Piney Woods, where Texas Parks and Wildlife District Leader Rusty Wood resides. Rusty, welcome back to Texas Outdoor News. Harold's all excited when we talk to you because of your trophy squirrel that people are hunting out there.
Good morning, friends. Good to be here.
Good morning. Yeah. Well, I was raised hunting squirrels, and I tell people that's the greatest way to start kids out hunting is squirrels.
I agree.
Yeah, and his favorite recipe is chicken fried with cream gravy.
Yeah, right.
Hard to beat over some cathead biscuits.
Absolutely. There you go. Hey, coming out of last hunting season, what kind of harvest did y'all have, and what kind of carryover did y'all see heading into this season?
You know, harvest was down a little bit last year overall. We went into a drought late summer last year and had a lot of acorns, and so probably spurred by the drought, you know, a drought response, a tree can either make a lot of acorns or it can not make any, and it made a lot. And so I feel like that contributed to the harvest being down overall. So I feel like we had a good carryover into the early spring. In fact, whenever we did our surveys this summer, we saw very high record numbers of deer and fawns too. Now we'll see if they carry over. The fawns make it into the herd, get recruited into the herd, but we saw good numbers of animals. So I feel like we had a good carryover for this year.
With the carryover that you had for white-tailed deer, they got off to a good start with antler growth, because, man, your part of the world has been producing, with all the regulatory changes, y'all have been producing some really good, healthy trophy bucks out there.
We do, and I feel like that carryover is definitely going to help us get another year of age on these guys. So we should be in very good shape.
How about the cover then? Obviously the fawns, and I guess that's the unknown question, right, when you talk about recruitment, their survival and then the impact they may have had for the eastern turkey project and other ground nesting birds, right?
Yeah, so we started off the spring in really good shape, late winter and early spring, all the way through June really was normal or maybe above normal rainfall, really good shape, but the tap cut off midsummer, and it got really dry. The habitat got in poor shape. So, like I said, even though we saw a lot of fawns, the cover, the ground got really bad, and the habitat dried up on us. So it's yet to see if those fawns are going to make it into the fall herd or not. But incidentally, that, you know, a dry year is not necessarily a bad thing for game birds. We had record numbers of doves this year in the Piney Woods, and the turkeys did well as well. We're still doing our turkey project with LSU, and they're tracking some birds that are out, and we saw, you know, decent reproduction this year. So the drought didn't affect the birds as bad as it did maybe the deer herd.
Yeah, Rusty, I was going to ask you how those turkeys are doing. You already answered. But you guys have been working on that turkey program for a long time, too, haven't you?
We have. So we finished up our stocking in Angelina County this year on a place that we've been working on. And we radio collared a lot of those birds. We've been following those things. Those are birds from Maine that we've relocated to Texas for a big block stocking, and those birds are doing well. Their survival is well, and they're actually reproducing. Started making nests right away, so that was a good sign. And then we've got some radio collars on some native birds that we've also been tracking, and reproduction is very comparable. Nesting rates and reproduction is very comparable. So where we have birds are still doing well, and we're just working to connect the populations together.
Are your friends in Louisiana still sending you bears?
We haven't had any bears this year. We haven't had a bear report in the Piney Woods for the last couple of years, actually. So.
Okay. Let me go back to the turkey question that Harold raised, because, you know, we continue to learn, I mean, about so many facets of life and, you know, and management. But we're looking at what I have heard, Rusty, is that if you manage for ground nesting birds, or turkey in particular, it benefits everything. I mean, this kind of supersedes the harvest management strategy. I mean, that's a part. But harvesting for whitetail only. But if you broaden it to a bigger spectrum, it really benefits a larger segment of the wildlife population. Is that correct?
To some degree, yeah, I would agree with that. Now, quail are a little bit more specific. They require a little bit less trees and a little bit more grass than a turkey requires. But managing for turkey, open pine scenarios, prescribed fire, a good understory, it's good for turkeys. It's good for a lot of animals, game and non-game.
So much of the property around Texas, particularly in your part of the world, has been subdivided. So big parcels, historic parcels, have been subdivided. But some of that has been rejoined in the wildlife co-ops. Are they still as active and viable as they used to be?
We don't have as big of co-ops like they do perhaps down in South Texas. But we're still fair and okay. I mean, the big timberlands, we have a lot of timberlands here.
Right.
And a lot of the timber companies have been bought out by timber investment groups and real estate investment groups. But by and large, a lot of that country is still together. We've seen some breakup of the properties, but not to the degree that the rest of the state has. We're still fairly intact here in East Texas.
All right. Let me shift gears because of the rain we got this week. You know, lakes were down. Backwater sloughs were dry because of the drought. This may not have filled them, but is it a start to get us if we get some more rain where there will be some of that flooded timber that we could hunt for waterfowl, for ducks?
Yeah, you bet. We got, you know, anywhere from 2 to 5 or 6 inches, actually, at the top end of the Piney Woods up around Bowie County. I got a report from somebody up there that we got about 6 inches of rain. So,
oh, wow.
For sure, we're catching up fast, and it could be pretty good. You know, those dry sloughs are not necessarily a bad thing because it gives vegetation a chance to grow. And so if you get some water on them, it can produce some really good duck hunting.
Ooh, that sounds great.
Yeah, you betcha. Always looking for targets of opportunity. You guys still have pigs?
We still got pigs, lots of them. Come by and get you one.
Are we getting an increase in hunters, I hope? I mean, they're so much fun to hunt. They're so much fun to cook.
Well, I think... most people shoot pigs opportunistically while they're hunting other species. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got people that obviously target them with dogs and things like that.
Right.
But certainly people that are hunting deer will definitely take a pig while they're out and about.
Yeah. Are y'all seeing increased trapping of pigs, just, you know, as we're talking about these critters, and specifically trying to go after the entire sounder as opposed to just, you know, 2, 3, or 4? Right.
Yeah, I think that our knowledge of pig biology is really increased over the last few years, and you see more and more of those big kinds of various traps that catch the big corral traps that catch the whole sounder, and that's really the most effective way to get rid of a pig population, or at least to help manage it.
Okay. All right. Before we run out of time, let's talk a little bit, because you got a lot of property in your area that's available for public hunting on the $48 annual hunting permit. Are y'all seeing pretty good utilization of that program in your area?
Utilization is always very high with our public hunting program. We have the most public hunting ground here in East Texas that's open to the public, for sure. And it's highly utilized and coveted, for sure.
That's a great program.
Great program.
And
you
folks, know. if you're not familiar with it, go to the Texas Parks and Wildlife website, tpwd.texas.gov. hunting and look for public hunting opportunities. And I tell you what, I'll admit right now, when I buy my combination license, I even will buy the $48 annual hunting permit, even though I have opportunities. It's a great way to see some new country around the state. Any projects coming up that are near and dear to you that we might need to be made aware of?
Well, like I mentioned, we're still doing the turkey research. We've got another year of field work, trapping and monitoring of some turkeys to go with our partners at LSU. And so that's probably the big thing we've got going right now.
Okay.
Forward to another field season and seeing what the results bring.
Outstanding. Our guest this afternoon, this morning, has been Rusty Wood from East Texas. Jasper is where he hangs out. Rusty, we appreciate you joining us today on Texas Outdoor News.
Thanks. Good talking to you guys.
Thank you, Rusty. Friends.
See you, Harold.
There's more coming around. Yes, sir. More Texas Outdoor News on the way.
This is Harold reminding you that it's time to get those fields and food plots planted. And the products you need come from Plot Spike Seed. I use Plot Spike at my place, and the deer love it. Now's the time to plant Plot Spike forage oats, especially blended for forage. These oats produce an extremely high yield and a long growing season. Plot Spike forage oats can be planted in September for great grazing early in the season, and since they're more cold tolerant than other varieties, they usually last through the entire hunting season. University tests show Plot Spike forage oats are capable of producing over 10,000 pounds of nutritious forage per acre, and that's a lot of deer chow. Plot Spike forage oats and their other wildlife management products are available at feed and sporting goods stores and at Tractor Supply. You can learn about their full lineup of year-round products and order online at plotspike.com. Pure, premium, proven Plot Spike.
Plot Spike is available at Tractor Supply.
If you can avoid it. But when you must fight, don't lose. And when nothing less than freedom is at stake, we fight. We're millions of people just like you. We're the longest standing civil rights organization in the U.S. Proud defenders of history's patriots. Protectors of the Second Amendment. Advocating the right to keep and bear arms. Advancing the shooting sports. Championing gun safety, education, and training. Creating a vital legacy by answering freedom's call. And we're growing stronger every day. We are the NRA, and the NRA is you. Join forces with the 5 million men and women of the NRA and make a stand for freedom today. Sign up now at joinnra.com.
It is time for the outdoor calendar on Texas Outdoor News. Harold,
yes,
looks
indeed.
Like ducks are still after it.
Absolutely. It's that time of year. October the 10th, the Sabine chapter of the Ducks Unlimited fundraising banquet in Orange, held at the 10 Top 2 Arena and Event Center. Information on that, go to ducks.org. On the 14th, again, ducks, the Jasper chapter of Ducks Unlimited in Jasper, going to be held at the Community and Family Preservation Association. So check out again, ducks.org, to get your directions for that. And then go to one of those great events in your brand new Ford truck.
Folks, there's a number of reasons why I'm so partial to Ford trucks. One is they're built Ford tough, and that means they're dependable. In fact, there are more Ford F-Series trucks on the road with over 250,000 miles than any other brand. Ford F-Series has been the number one selling truck in America for 46 years running and is the number one selling truck in Texas. You see, Ford F-Series trucks have the best-in-class towing and payload and are the strongest trucks on the road. So why don't you do yourself a favor and stop by one of the 275 best-in-Texas Ford dealers and find out for yourself what built Ford tough really means.
And do remember, Hybrid Light is the official mobile lighting provider of Texas Outdoor News Radio. They have flashlights, headlamps, work lights, lanterns, much more. The Mighty Mammoth work light is the finest I've ever used. Bill, I know you love their headlamps.
Absolutely.
And you can get kits. You can get packages all kind of them together. These products charge with a USB cord or any light source, including the sun. They hold a charge for 7 years. Plus, these lights can be used to charge your phone and other devices. So for our listeners and friends, they have a special offer for 20%
off any of their products and free same-day shipping. Go to hybridlight.com and at checkout, add the discount code TEXAS20. Again, 20% off, free same-day shipping. Discount code TEXAS20, hybridlight.com.
I want to thank our two guests today as we kick off our annual Waltz Across Texas. David Veal from Pleasanton down in the South Texas Brush Country, and Rusty Wood from Jasper over in the Piney Woods. Coming up next week,
yes,
we're going to meet a new guy.
Oh, okay.
Mason Conley is the new district leader out of Tyler.
Is he ready for us?
I'm trying to prepare him. You know, okay, I'm going, hey, Harold can get a little crazy at times, right. And then we're going to go to favorite area of so many,
yes,
the Hill Country. Mike Miller from Kerrville will be joining us with them, their hunt forecast
very
update.
Good.
So you said you had something.
Well, it's interesting. I didn't realize this. Poaching is a big deal on alligator snapping turtles. And so the Parks and Wildlife, they're upping the reward for tips now. Reward to catch a poacher, $2,000.
Wow.
And I don't know what they're doing with them. I mean, they don't say that, but there's been a really big problem with poaching on snapping turtles.
Wow.
And you don't want them to get you.
No. I actually saw something where someone was handling a snapping turtle,
yeah,
and he got a little careless, and he now is missing the tip of his finger.
There you go. Yeah, that's... That's the fun side of Facebook, I guess, with some of those things, right? You're like, oh, okay. If you want to see stupid, you know, go to Facebook and Instagram. It happens all the time. My goodness. Anyway, hey, do remember that we are brought to you by Ford Trucks and your best in Texas Ford dealers. Check our website out, TexasOutdoorNews.com. There's a list of all of our wonderful affiliate stations there. You can also download the shows from there, as you can do on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and Pandora. So, I mean, you'll never be very far away from us, okay? So remember, whether you're on the water or in the field, be safe out there. So you can join us next week. Same time, same station for more Texas Outdoor News.